Accession number 9431, Reel 2.
Mr. Grunwell, Reel 2. I think before we continue with your service on the Suez Canal, we better make absolutely certain that we've got the name of your regiment, the full name of the regiment, so if you could give me that now.
16th West Yorkshire Regiment, Prince of Wales, is it?
Right, and it was the 1st Bradford Pals.
Bradford Pals.
Now, we were talking about the Suez Canal, and you described your journey up to, was it a post, a guard post that you had to man. Could you tell me what that consisted of?
Well, one thing was a light railway that ran down the side of the canal. We used to patrol that and meet certain of the Gurkhas to see, this was in the evening, to see that the railroad was in order. That was one of the duties. And of course, also, some of us had to go by ferry across the canal and man a redoubt there to prevent any intruders interfering with the canal. That was what was done.
Did your duties consist of anything else than just guard duties at night? Did you do anything else during daytimes?
No, you see, there was the what they call the Sweet Water Canal, which was just a canal, whether it was, well, it wouldn't be above 3 yards wide at one side, the Suez Canal at the other, and then the railway as well. And of course, the whole thing was manning the redoubt at the other side of the canal and keeping the line open against any incursion.
Were there any incidents where people tried to invade that area of the Suez Canal, where there were perhaps
not that resistance? I know of, no. After we'd been there some while, we went down farther down the canal to Kantara.
And what happened at Kantara?
Well, Kantara was a link with the Holy Land. Our chaps, I hurt my foot bathing in the canal, having a swim in the canal. I cut my foot. I didn't go out. But the company went out about to some post out in the desert to occupy the post there, while I stayed at Kantara. After about, well, it can't have been long, because after all said and done, we were soon back again on the boat to France, whether it was a month or may have been a month, it was out there. And they came back, and as far as I remember, we must have then decided, it was decided that our services was needed in France.
Before we move on to France, can you tell me a little bit about the accommodation that you had out at Kantara?
Well, all I remember was just some kind of structure. I don't remember anything of any note to say that you was in good huts or things of that kind. As regards, well, it seems to me perhaps we just use sleeping bags or something of that. As regards accommodation, don't remember anything.
Can you remember what the supplies were like, your food supplies and so on?
Well, those Unkley and Palmley and Palmer's biscuits, which was as hard as bricks, tasteless and full of maggots.
Was that a frequent occurrence?
Well, as well, I don't remember as having anything otherwise. No, I don't remember anything otherwise. Might have a change of biscuits, but probably we had a change of biscuits, perhaps smaller biscuits.
Did you have any meat at all?
All I can think of is that it was bully beef stew.
What about water supply?
Well, the water supply, the camels was used with containers, which where the water came from, I don't know. But evidently, whether it came from Port Said or I don't know, but the camels used to be the means of transport, whether provisions or water.
What was the quality of the water like?
Well, as far as I know, it was all right. It was all right, I don't remember. I don't remember anything. I mean, after all said and done, it was a case of this, that what came your way, you took it.
Can you remember if there was any illness as a result of this sort of diet and the conditions that you lived in?
No. No, I don't remember any call, anyone going sick, which was a usual thing at one time in the army. Usually in the days in England, and that there used to be anyone going sick, you see, a call, and probably, I don't know whether it was a corporal or a sergeant, came round, anybody going sick, and of course, if you was going sick, you're no mistaken, and of course, you missed the parade, you saw the doctor. But I don't remember anything of it.
And you remained healthy yourself?
Yes.
During the daytime, or when you weren't on duty, what recreations did you, or were you able to follow?
Don't remember doing anything at all, really. After all said and done, between the canal and the railway and the sweep canal, there was no room to do anything, really. But as I say about, I suppose you just hung about doing nothing. And why I should go in the canal, I don't know. Because what happened to a lot of the, who was talking about food, you might have tins of jam, the jam would be used and the tin thrown in the canal. And that was how I got bully beef. There was also the corned beef tins as well, and that's how I cut my foot in the canal.
Did many of the troops swim in the canal?
Well, there must have been some, because, as I say, when the boats came up the canal, which they did at different times, and would shout, Manningham Lane, the chaps would go out and swim and take the parcel they were offered.
Yeah, Manningham Lane's in Bradford, isn't it?
That's right. Of course, rung a bell. At night time, of course, it was a different thing. Of course, they came up with great big lights shining up the canal onto the boat.
Was the canal very busy?
No. Occasionally you'd have, whether they were Arabs or not, whether they came up fishing or not, you'd occasionally see them. But as regards liners passing through, not so busy as that. Of course, there again, I don't know. You see, the canal, of course, opens out at Suez and goes down to, opens out at Port Said and goes down to the, where it opens out at the Red Sea. So I don't know whether, same as on certain canals, they've got to wait, well, one gets out of the way and then, I don't know. But, no, the It was now and again you'd see them.
When did you learn that you'd be moving back to France?
Well, it must have been when the company came back to Kantara. Because after reaching Kantara, we was back up the rail, and I suppose not long at, well, we didn't stay long as I remember. We were soon on the boat at Portsend.
Can you remember the name of the ship that you travelled back to?
Yes, Minneapolis.
And can you tell me something about the journey that you...
I was chosen on for the boat guard. Very pleasant.
Why, you say it was very pleasant, why was that?
We was on, with the, on the guard, on the top deck, all the time. Where the boat was.
As it, normally speaking, you weren't allowed on the top deck?
No. It was lovely weather as well. As good as being on a cruise.
And that was a permanent position. You did guard duty every day, was that? How long would you be on duty for?
Well, if you was on... The usual time for duty was 2 hours and four off.
And did you alternate between nighttime duty and daytime duty?
As far as I remember, yes. Yeah.
What was your accommodation like on the Minneapolis?
Well, mine on the top deck, well, I don't remember. I think we must have first slept out. I mean, it was, you can understand... Well, it was summertime or spring, and it was warm in, on the canal. Yes. Warm on the canal. Warm on the, as you passed through the sea. Yes, quite pleasant.
How did you occupy yourself on the ship?
Well, I suppose just as you wish. I suppose we must have done a little boat guard, but I can't just remember.
Did the troops have to do any sort of exercise or anything organised for them like that?
No.
Did the diet change in any way on the ship? Did the food you had change? And finally, were you escorted in, at any point, or were you on your own there?
As far as I know, we was on our own.
Can you tell me where you sailed to, then?
Marseilles.
And was there any reaction when you reached Marseille?
There was no action. The only thing about it was there was a lot of German which had been captured by the French with Mark PG, and we thought there was the Prussian Guard, the Flower Army, what was there, prisoners of the French.
And what happened to you at Marseille?
Well, I suppose we was entrained and on our way up onto the Somme, where spent a lot of time.
Can you remember any details about your journey on the train?
Only that we passed through the vineyards of France. We saw, I think, and whether it was the river Rhône at what passes through that country, but otherwise just passed off as other things in.
What was your feeling about going to the Somme? going to at least going to France.
Very pleased. As regards Egypt, as regards getting leave from Egypt, I thought it would be hopeless. And so many miles away from home. So going back to France had that, gave me that thought. If there's any, there's a chance now of getting leave from there, seeing we're nearer home.
Did you consider the fighting? Because you've been in a very quiet area. Did you consider the dangers of the fighting at all?
No. No. I forget the villages that we landed up in the Somme area, but up at one or two villages I forget now. And then we seemed to stay more at this place called Bus than anywhere. And from there we function forward to different villages, same as Burton Court, Cosells, Maley, and we used to go into the line forward of there.
Can you tell me what your first impressions were of the line when you first reached it?
Well, it was a series of trenches running one way and the other.
Was it what you'd expected?
Yes, trench warfare. That's what it was. And you entered a good way back before you reached the front line.
That's the communication trenches you're talking
about.
Yes,
that's right. Yes.
What was the terrain like? Was it flat or hilly?
Flat.
Did it slope in any direction particularly?
Don't remember it, no.
And what about vegetation? Was there any trees or...?
No, not, don't remember any trees there at all.
Were there any buildings nearby?
No.
Were there any signs of fighting? Was the ground churned up at all, or was it pretty well untouched?
Not at that time. No. No, as a matter of fact, in the bottom of the trench there was duckboards, which was wood things like the length with a little cross that way. And I don't know, I just forget, but at one time at Burton Court I was engaged a working party making slabs, concrete slabs. We used to mix the cement and put it into a frame. Whether there was part of the line at the back, I can't just remember, but mostly duckboards, wood.
Can you tell me about the depth of the trenches? Were they deep trenches?
Well, if I was saying how deep they were, I should say 8 to 9 feet. You see, if you was in the front line, you'd be down there, and then there'd be, when you was on duty, you was a step where you could look over the line.
It was a fire step at the front of the trench.
That's right, yes.
You mentioned the duckboards. Was the side of the trench riveted at all? Was it covered in some way to prevent the earth falling in?
No. No. Where I was, it was fairly... whether the soil was... whether it was clay, you see, and... stood. No, there was nothing to all the trenches one way or another. It must have been the ground, the state of the ground at that particular place.
Were they fairly wide?
No.
Was it easy to pass someone coming the other way?
Well, if there was 2'6" to 3 foot.
And were they sandbagged at all in any part?
There was sandbags, I know. Where was the sandbags? Whether there was at the top where the firing was or not, I'm not certain. There was places where there was sandbags. But I don't remember many sandbanks, that particular spot on the Somme where I was.
Did they have wire defences in front of your trench system?
There's no defences. There was wire. There was wire entanglements between no man's land.
Were they British or German wire entanglements, do you think?
Well, I suppose they would be done by both sides. The engineers, as far as I know, had that work to do.
Mm-hmm. When you were in the front line, what accommodation did you have?
In none. He's just in the front line there. That was it.
Did you dig into the side of the trench at all, or did you just have to sort of lean against the trench if you wanted to go to sleep?
I suppose that's what would happen, but I can't remember now.
Was there any way you could sort of put your own property, anything?
Well,
you know, yours?
The only property I had then, I think all your stuff was just your fighting equipment, which consisted on your rifle, your haversack, your cartridges, your entrenching tool, and that was about it. No, you see, actually speaking, that's what they counted on the 1st of July. You wasn't limbered up with any full pack at the back of you. It was in fighting order, what they call fighting order.
So we'll certainly come to that in a short while. Just to go through some of the more everyday things about trenches, perhaps you could tell me about the rations that you had. Can you remember how they arrived at the front line?
They must have been, there was what they was called orderlies. And whether the orderly went to some centre, I just forget, but when we was there, it was bully beef, as was cold beef was called, and biscuits. The biscuits was rather an envelope shape, supposed to contain certain ingredients, more than just the flour. But that's what we got, and I always remember being hungry and looking around certain sandbags, which was used for refuse, looking for bits of biscuits.
Was there any way you could supplement your diet from elsewhere when you're in the front line?
No. Occasionally you get a parcel of perhaps sent out from home, but no. It was down to jam, bully beef, and biscuits.
And you felt there was not enough of that?
That's true, yes. When you was out, it was bully beef stew. If you happen to be in a French village of some size, you might get to the baker's shop and buy some French bread, which on one occasion I did, but I paid for it. What I mean is, it was a big cake like that, and it was rather rough stuff, and I was hungry. I got into it, and as the name of the bread over there was called Dupang, it gave me Dupang. I had lots of pain in my stomach with it. Awful.
What about the water supply that you got in the front line?
Well, the water supply, it was chlorinated. The wells was chlorinated in the village against infiltration, as the saying is, about somebody poisoning the wells. And I suppose we must have filled our water bottles up with it. And I don't remember anything. I can't remember any hot drinks given to us in the trenches.
You didn't make your own hot drinks?
Well, no, no. I mean, after all said and done, when you was in the trenches, you'd got to keep low down, really. No, it's the only thing about it, no. No, I can't remember. Can't remember hot drinks.
Were there any special supplies given to you, like rum or cigarettes?
In the summertime, in the wintertime, we'd a rum ration.
When were you given the rum ration?
Well, usually in the morning, I think it was. We might have had it twice a day, but I think it was usually in the morning.
And what did that consist of?
Oh, just a nice dot of rum, really. On one occasion, it was said that the chap what was over our platoon, the officer drank the lot, and we got none that day, and the poor fellow, it was said, took his life. It was fatal. Face the music. Suppose it'd been up before the general and been off them.
Before you knew what might have happened to him, what was the reaction of people to find out they hadn't got rum?
Well, of course, it was a big factor. I mean, anything like that, rum, it was neat rum as well. It wasn't this what you buy here and it's watered down.
You say it was a big factor. What do you mean by that?
Well, you can understand, in the winter, if your rations was only poor, meagre, you get something to warm you up. That was a big factor about it. It warmed you up.
Do you remember feeling angry when you didn't get your rum ration?
Well, of course. It was no use troubling about that, really. Naturally, I suppose, normally, in an ordinary sense, things have been normal, you might have done. But, I mean, you've got to take things as they came and live from day to day.
Turning now to your health and keeping yourself clean and so on. Was it possible to wash when you were in the trenches?
No.
Did you make any effort to do so?
There was no facilities.
Can you tell me about latrines? What facilities existed there?
No, I'm afraid that's a blank.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned lice a moment ago.